Blog Talk Radio.
The following show is a proud member of the ShowDoc Network. Learn more about this show and other great shows by logging on to ShowDoc.com.
This week's episode of the Sports Docket is being sponsored by Blog Talk Radio, System Showdown,
and by the Sports Docket.
Coming to you live from... What's on your docket? Welcome to the Sports Docket with Ace Man and the Quas. Tune in to hear their take on New York sports to see if their teams make the grade. Presented by ShowDoc.com.
Live from Lynbrook in Syracuse, New York, this is the Sports Docket Radio Show with Ace Man and the Quas.
Time to talk of a storm. Hello and welcome to a new decade of the Sports Docket on Blog Talk Radio. This is episode 57 for Thursday night, January 7, 2010. Believe it or not, it's our first show after a 10-month hiatus. We hope everybody had a nice New Year's. We are coming to you live tonight from our hometowns in Brooklyn and Lynbrook, New York. You just should call that Lynn Brooklyn. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ethan Quasman.
Very nice, Quas. And I'm Stephen Ackerman. And we've got a great show for you guys tonight. In just a couple of moments, Ed Valentine, a blogger for SB Nation's Pinstripe Alley, and Patrick O'Keefe, formerly of Yanks Blog, will be on the docket once again as part of a panel discussion to discuss the Yankees' offseason moves following their 27th world title. At 8:30 p.m., we will preview the Jets' upcoming wild card playoff game, the rematch against the Cincinnati Bengals at the Jungle in Cincinnati, of course, and we'll discuss the Eastern Conference best New Jersey Devils, who once again are riding Marty Brodeur this season. What a job they've done. The red-hot New York Rangers as well, coming off a 5-2 win last night against the Stars and the up-and-down Islanders. In regards to the hardwood, we'll also give the Knicks a few more minutes this year since they're a game behind the eighth playoff spot, so they're actually in the race this year. And the Nets, well, they're now going to get our 32 seconds of shame in order to have 1 second for each of their 32 losses this season as opposed to the three wins. As always, this time of year, we'll discuss the hot stove and the Mets signings as well of Jason Bay and Kelvin Escobar.
During the show, we want to hear from the phone lines as well. We will be taking questions when guests are on as well. You can call us at 646-478-5118. That's 646-478-5118. You may have to press 1 to get in the caller queue.
And also, if you would prefer to message your queries, you can aim myself at MetsFanatic910 or my co-host, the Quas, of course, at GoTalkToQuas. In addition, you could also leave a voicemail or send us a text during off-show hours by calling or texting us at 315-497-SHOW. That's 315-497-7469. Be sure to text or say Sports Docket or SD before you text or call.
So, Stephen, it's sure good to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. And, well, with all this technology, it's crazy. Speaking of being back, the Yankees, unfortunately for us, back in October or November, whenever the World Series is, because the schedule is all over the place. They're now the Kings of New York, and the Mets just had an awful season. Also, the Yanks, you know, of course, they make a big splash right away by signing Curtis Granderson. I mean, they've had a successful all season following their World Series championship.
Absolutely, and at least for you, Steve, the Jets are kings of NY football right now. My Giants suffered a collapse this year, starting 5-0. Kind of similar to the one the Mets suffered in the 07 and 08 seasons.
Absolutely, Quas. You got that right. We'll definitely get into the playoff Jets, 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 and the disappointing Giants. You know, we'll get into those two seasons in depth, but we'll start off with some Yankees offseason talk.
You got that right. On that note, we'd like to welcome to the docket Ed Valentine, a blogger for Pinstripe Alley. Ed, hope you had a great New Year's, and thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us tonight. Ed, you're on the line? I don't believe Ed is here. I think only Patrick's on the line right now. Patrick is here. Patrick O'Keefe joining us now, formerly of Yanks Blog. Patrick, hope you had a great New Year's, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, guys. It's great to be on. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Hope you had a good one. And the Yankees, you know, before anything else, I mean, you know, they signed Curtis Granderson after winning the World Series. What do you think of that move?
Well, you know, the question really is dealing Austin Jackson, you know, because he was, you know, one of the top prospects in the system, if not the top prospect. But, I mean, I'm excited about the prospect of Granderson playing. I think with his left-handed bat, I mean, he hit 30 homers last year, really didn't have a great year. Besides, you know, the homer number is good, but average, I think maybe his average is a little deceptive and doesn't portray, you know, him being as good a hitter as he actually is. You know, for his career, he has hit a little higher, I believe. He's at 272 versus 249 last year. So I think he's going to come back to that average of 272, 344 OBA, and bounce back a bit. So maybe we bought him, maybe a little low, but at the same time, we definitely had to give something up to get him.
Definitely, absolutely right with those points on Granderson. And also, do you think Yankee Stadium will help him out as far as his hitting goes? Because obviously, Comerica Park in Detroit is a very spacious ballpark. And maybe with that short porch in right field, maybe he'll have some power numbers back.
Well, I think that's he hit 30 last year. So I think that was a great number for him. Obviously, a career high. Before that, he had 22, 23 in the years prior to that. So it was a career high by a good margin. But at the same time, you have that short porch for the Yankees. And I think he'll definitely take advantage of that. I don't know, 30 is still kind of a high number for him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he puts it up yet again. If you look at, the short porch and right, I should say, and obviously him as a lefty pulling to right. But if you look at his home runs last year in Comerica Park, for instance, where the Tigers play, all of them were to right field. So, I mean, that should give you an idea of what he can bring to Yankee Stadium, and I think that'll just continue there as he'll take advantage of the short porch.
Now, Patrick, of course, the Yankees have had a very loud offseason following a World Series. Is this just the Yankees being the Yankees and the Steinbrenners being the Steinbrenners?
You know, it doesn't really seem that loud. I mean, I that's not like – see, I'm a humble Yankee fan. Like, I've been a Yankee fan since I was born, since 84, and I remember when we had pitchers like Scott Sanderson and, you know, all of those type of pitchers, and Steve Farr as the closer, and Spike Owen and Mike Gallego as a double play combination. So, I mean, I know when the Yankees were bad. I was a fan then. I have a book on my bookshelf, the 1993 Yankees, I believe it is, and it's an ugly sight. But, you know, I think if you look at this offseason, I mean, compared to last, I think last was sort of the planets aligned where the level of talent was so high and we had some players coming off the books, we had some money, that we went out and signed one of the best pitchers in baseball, maybe the top three, top two second first baseman in baseball, you know, and then A.J. Burnett, who's a great pitcher as well. So I think coming from that, it's definitely a little quieter. I think maybe more – we're just kind of filling pieces right now because we do have a lot of players coming back. We do have the core of the team coming back. We have our ace, shortstop, third baseman, you know, all of these great players. So going out and getting Granderson and improving upon what we had in center field last year with Melky Cabrera and then trading for Vasquez to shore up the, you know, the back end of the rotation. You know, those are, you know, deals made to kind of fill in the pieces and get the guys we need. And other than that, I think it's going to be bench guys and just filling out the bottom of the depth of the roster.
Yeah, the Yankees have a very stacked roster. Before we continue, I'd like to welcome Ed Valentine from Pinstripe Alley. Ed, how are you doing?
Ed was just on I think he got disconnected or hung up. Hopefully he'll call back.
Oh, he's just on. Well, we're trying to get Ed on. But anyway, right now we have Patrick O'Keefe of formerly of Yanks Blog. We're talking about the Yankees offseason so far and how they're going to be next year following a world championship. So right now, how do you think the Yankees are compared to the Red Sox? Do you think they're better than them in all facets of the game, or do you think that the Red Sox will have a chance to beat them next year as far as the division goes?
Well, I think it's, you know, the Red Sox definitely have a chance. I think, you know, that anything can happen, and on paper they're a very, very good team. I think they match up pretty well with the Yankees. I mean, obviously they've made some moves this offseason, I think playing maybe a little bit of catch-up to kind of try to match the Yankees depth-wise. I mean, if you look at the rotation, you have Lester, Beckett, the lackey, the new guy, and some conglomeration of Matsuzaka, Buckholz, and Wakefield, I guess. to round it out. And, you know, well, when you compare that to the Yankees stack up well. If you go up and down the lineup, Victor Martinez versus Posada, maybe edge the Sox on that one. But first base, you kill us Teixeira, second base, Cano, Pedroia, shortstop, Scudero and Jeter, Beltre, A-Rod. I mean, it does stack up pretty well. They're probably stronger in the outfield, definitely offensively. But, you know, infield-wise and pitching-wise, it seems like, you know, the Yankees really do hold their own there.
Joining us right now is Ed Valentin from the Pinstripe Alley. Ed, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on this roundtable tonight. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, what's up?
Hi, how are you?
Doing good, yeah.
Happy New Year, Ed.
Thank you. We were just talking about with the Curtis Granderson deal. I want to get your impressions on that move and if you think the Yankees have had a loud offseason.
I think I love the Granderson move. I wouldn't qualify the offseason as loud for the Yankees. I mean, last year was a loud offseason, spending, what was it, $423 million in free agency. That was a loud offseason. This has just been an offseason where they've made a couple of choices. I mean, replacing Damon and Matsui with younger players.
And Melky Cabrera as well.
Right, right. I mean, really, you know, they've made a few choices. They haven't really made a splash.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, they spent, of course, almost $500 million last year on Teixeira, CC, and A.J. Burnett. Of course, this year, maybe just a few trades. As of now, the Yankees, as you mentioned, did lose Damon and Melky Cabrera and also Matsui to the Angels. Out of those three, who do you think the Yankees are going to miss the most?
We'll start with
that. Really, probably Matsui. You know, I think there's an emotional attachment to Damon, but the thing about Matsui when he's healthy is Matsui always hitting the five hole in that lineup, and he was always a key RBI guy. And the one thing when you look at the Yankee lineup right now, you look at that lineup and you go, well, who's going to hit fifth every day? You know, who's going to protect A-Rod? And, you know, can Granderson do that? I'm not sure Granderson can do that. You know, and we know Cano can't do that because, we've seen what happens when you stick him in the middle of the lineup and try to ask him to be that guy. You know, he presses and he doesn't drive in any runs. So on a day-to-day basis, I don't know who that guy is going to be, you know, hitting behind Rodriguez.
Well, yeah, I guess your options right now are Granderson, Posada you could possibly put in there. And you said Cano, of course, so when he comes into these clutch situations, not really the answer. So do you think maybe they can maybe give Swisher a shot at the fifth spot?
Oh, I think you'll see Swisher hit there some. I think you'll see Granderson hit there some. I think, you know, you've hit all the possibilities. You know, Posada can hit there. You know, the question is, how many games can Posada play?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's getting up there, you know. So how many games is he actually going to be able to be in
Absolutely.
The line?
And getting to that magic number as far as catches go.
Right.
We're joined right now by bloggers Ed Valentin and Patrick O'Keefe. This is a question, Mr. O'Keefe. Currently, the Yankees have 10 infielders and 4 outfielders on their roster. Are some of these infielders going to the outfield, or is this crowded infield going to subside before pitchers and catches report?
Well, you know, Chad Jennings at the Yankees, the Aloha Yankees blog reported yesterday, I think, that Cashman basically said the priority right now, the main thing that they're looking at is outfielders, backup outfielder, right-handed outfielder. So I think that'll be the fifth outfielder. You know, Jamie Hoffman, not real sure as a fourth. He could not make the roster. I mean, it's really an experiment with him right now with the Rule 5 pick. You know, they're going to try him out, see how it goes, but there's not really a big commitment there. Obviously, you have Swisher, you have Gardner, you have Granderson, and then after that, just really looking for a backup guy or two. And, you know, it's not going to be a big name. It's not going to be a big trade. It's, you know, the salary's limited, a few million dollars maybe. So it'll be just some sort of depth, some sort of bottom of the outfield rounding out that you'll see happen, and then they'll go with, I'm sure, 5 outfielders.
All right, now, of course, I have a question for both of you. I guess we could start with Ed first. Now, obviously, pitching is very important, and you're going to need starting pitching to win. The Yankees have their top four. They have CC, A.J. Burnett, Andy Pettit, and, of course, Javier Vasquez. Now, do you think the fifth starter, is it going to be Yuzer Jabba? That's probably the million-dollar question right now.
Yeah, that's the thing that, you know, you ask everybody and you're going to get a different answer. I mean, the question really comes down to, I mean, let me put it this way. In my opinion, I think 7 or 8 years from now, we're going to look at it, and I think Phil Hughes is going to be a better pitcher than Jabba Chamberlain. I think Hughes is going to have a better career as a starting pitcher than Jabba. I just think he's got a better personality for it. He's got the pitches for it. He's got the temperament. I just always look at Hughes, and I think he's going to have a better career as a starter. You know, Jabba's temperament, he's got that relief pitcher temperament. You know, as much as I love the fact that they started him last year, give him that opportunity, he's got that relief pitcher temperament. He seems to throw the ball better. He seems to be more aggressive, you know, coming out of the bullpen. You know, the problem is if you put Hughes in the rotation, you know, you have Hughes rules, which means he's going to pitch 130, 140 innings. You know, do you throw away all that work you did last year with Chamberlain, you know, in terms of building up his innings, you know, and go right back to that again this year? It's just going to be, I have no idea which way they're going to go with this, but it's going to be really interesting to see how they handle it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great point. Now we'll go over to Patrick here. Patrick, do you think that the Yankees are looking at what the Red Sox done this offseason trying to beat that, or is general manager Brian Cashman just focusing on keeping the Bombers within this salary cap?
Well, you know, as I said earlier, I think a lot of the Red Sox moves really kind of catch up at this point, and it's really not, you know, catching up. You signed Adrian Beltre to play third base, okay, we have A-Rod, right? You signed Scudero, okay, you know, we have Jeter. You signed Lackey, obviously a great pitcher, probably better than Burnett, better than Vasquez. Some would disagree with that, I'm sure, but, you know, he's probably a little better, but how much better? And, you know, when you look at the rotation, Lester, Beckett, Lackey, you know, the last two guys are probably some grouping of, you know, Max Soucy, Buchholz, Wakefield, something like that. The Yankees have Sabathia, Burnett, Pettit, Vasquez. Vasquez was the fourth in Cy Young voting in the NL. He was fourth. I mean, so he was voted the fourth best pitcher in the National League last year. Now he's our fourth starter on our team. So, you know, I think he might be an underrated move there. Obviously, there's low expectations. He left the club, you know, not on the greatest of terms performance-wise with the fans. Obviously, the playoffs and how that all ended for him didn't go well. So the expectations aren't high, but he's a very good pitcher. And then you have Chamberlain or Hughes rounding it out at the fifth spot. And I don't, you know, either way there, I think the results might end up being similar. Both have been similar in the bullpen. Jabba has had more experience starting, of course. But, you know, I don't think that the concern has been the Red Sox this offseason. The Yankees didn't seem to really ever be a serious player for Lackey. They've kind of identified the guys they've wanted and, like Ed said, made choices. I mean, they made a decision to go after Granderson and solidify center field. You know, they made a choice to get Vasquez rather than signing one of the pitchers who's available in the free agent market or making a play for a reclamation case like DeSure or Sheets or whoever. So I think it's not really about the Red Sox. I think the team is pretty much done. They're going to get that outfielder, maybe another depth move, solidify the bench or the bullpen. And other than that, I think they're good to go, and then we'll see how it shakes out. But I think it's the Red Sox that have been the ones that have had to really play that catch-up this offseason, not the Yankees.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, off a world championship, you shouldn't need to play catch-up. I think the Yankees are personally stacked. They're personally stacked for next year. So I guess I'll have this one final point. Now that we've come to the end here, do you think the Yankees will make any other major moves this offseason, or do you think they're pretty much going to just stick what they have in-house right now? We could start with Patrick.
I think it's going to be pretty much sticking with what they have. Like I said, I think that, you know, there is this sort of, I don't know if it's totally unfounded or not, but just the idea of Damon still being out there and still being available and not yet finding a home. You know, I wouldn't be shocked if he returned, but for all intents and purposes, it's unlikely. It's completely unlikely. It's a joke on Twitter with, I think, Ken Davidoff of Newsday. He seems to quote a fan every day saying, you know, if this happens, would Dana be back? And he just says, no, no. No. So, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if he comes back at a cheaper deal and just kind of improves that outfield. But, you know, really, no, I don't see anything big happening. They've got their roster in place. It's a strong roster, strong rotation. Bullpen pieces come and go. It's streaky. So, you know, they'll put together those pieces. And beyond that, I think it's ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Ed?
Yeah, I have to agree with that for the most part. I think, you know, when it comes to the Yankees and, you know, a move like a Damon or something like that, you know, you never say never, because, you know, you always remember when they said a few years ago that they were going to be happy with, you know, with Bubba Crosby as their center fielder. And then, then they signed Damon out of the blue, you know, toward the end of the winter. So you never say never, but they're set. I mean, their rotation is set. Their bullpen is set. They have, you know, they have a lot of options. You know, about the only thing they're going to do, as Patrick said, is they'll find a right-handed hitting outfielder to go along with Gardner, and, you know, maybe to play once in a while for Swisher over in right field, and that's about it. You know, and they've got a whole bunch of young infield prospects, you know, that are going to compete for the utility role. So they're pretty much set. You know, what you see with them right now is what you get, and Yankee fans should be pretty happy with it.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate you giving us a couple minutes. Of course, Ed Valentine of Pinstripe Alley and Patrick O'Keefe, formerly of Yanks Blog, thank you guys a lot for joining us. And just to add a little side note, I'm really surprised that they didn't sign Matt Holliday to the contract.
Definitely.
They were never in on that.
Yeah, I mean they, obviously they do have that hole in left field. Obviously, they didn't want to spend all the money again this year.
Right, and there's a big pool next year, so that's kind of what what they might be saving for. There's a lot of talent coming next year.
Absolutely. And Patrick, definitely thanks for coming on once again, and wish you best of luck. And just tell us, where can people follow you on Twitter?
You can follow me at ifroggy, ifroggy. As you mentioned, yanksblog.com has come to an end for now, but obviously I was born a Yankee fan, and I'll die a Yankee fan, so that's not changing.
All right. We'll see you later. Thanks so much again.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. That, of course, was Patrick O'Keefe, formerly of Yanks Blog, and Ed Valentine on with us as well. Ed Valentine, of course, with Pinstripe Alley.
Yeah, Kwas, I mean, the Yankees look really good for next year. They're stacked.
They're stacked. I mean, they have an outfield problem, but it's not really a bad problem.
You know, honestly, with their lineup with A-Rod and Jeter and Teixeira, I mean, they're stacked at all the other positions. They honestly, they could put Daniel Murphy in left and still make the playoffs.
What's happening to, no one's saying A-Rod anymore. People are saying A-Rod now. I mean, what's going on?
I don't know. I mean, I think it was Kate Hudson. I think she helped him
maybe
last year.
Maybe it was Tiger Woods. Maybe Tiger Woods took the headlines away from A-Rod. But
Tiger Woods, yeah. I mean, you know what they say, right? Santa Claus, he stopped at three hoes. Tiger didn't.
That's right. Anyway, want to call in? The number you can call in anytime now is 646-478-5118. You can also aim Stephen over at MetsFanatic910. As always, Sports Docket is back. You can aim me over at Go Talk to Kwas. You can follow the Sports Docket on Twitter. We got about 60 followers. You can follow us over at twitter.com/sportsdocket, and you can also be a fan of us on Facebook. So definitely do all of that. Stephen, let's talk about, let's switch gears here, and let's get into these Jets. Finally, something to cheer about at the Meadowlands regarding the
finally.
Jets.
Finally, gangrene, or in the post. One of my, you know, it's been a long time since one of my teams has made the postseason. Well, actually, I mean, the Rangers do make the postseason pretty much every year, but, you know, the Mets, they've really been disappointing since 06. And finally, you know, the Jets, after, you know, Brett Favre, all that attention last year, starting 8-3, they end up collapsing towards the end. This year instead, a bait with help from Peyton Manning and from Carson Palmer, them only playing a half in each of the games. Still, the Jets, you know, they had to take care of those last two games, even with the starters sitting out, or whether the team had a clinch or not, the Jets still had to take care of business, and they surely did that.
So do you think at all that, like, a blessing in disguise that the Jets got the Colts and the Bengals the last two games? Do you think those teams threw the game, or do you think they actually put their best effort in?
I mean, if you think about it this way, the Jets, they played the Colts very tough until the starters came out. It was, of course, 9-3 at halftime. The Jets, you know, they allowed one touchdown to a die. That was on the first drive after they did stop them on fourth down, and it got called first down on a tripping penalty by Bart Scott. But the Jets, they really did keep this game close. When Peyton Manning left the game, the Colts were 15-10. So the Jets were still in striking distance. I do not think they would have beaten the Colts when they kept their starters in. However, the Jets did keep it close, and they earned the win. Because did they win the game or not? They won the game, didn't they?
Absolutely. And, I mean, do you see any comparisons between this Jets team and the 69 team? I mean, you have a new coach. You have a first-year quarterback.
Well, they beat the Colts.
Yeah, that was a big thing, you know.
That's a start. I mean, the Jets, I mean, put it this way, right? They have one of the top defenses, if not the best defense in the NFL. They have one of the best running attacks, if not the best running attack in the NFL. If Mark Sanchez does not turn the ball over, they can beat anyone. It's simple.
Yeah.
Sanchez, I mean, the Jets are a good quarterback away from being a 12-4 team.
Yeah,
this year, I mean, if the Jets had Brett Favre this year, I guarantee they would have been 12-4.
And we have to talk about the best defense in the NFL. I mean, people were saying that the Jets would become probably one of the few teams to not make the playoffs with the best defense. I mean, how often does that happen? And you know, the Jets do have the best defense, so.
I mean, yeah. All their guys have had such big years. The Jets, besides Chris Jenkins, have not really been, attacked
Revis.
By the injury bug.
He's the defensive player of the year, Darrell Revis.
Revis is just unbelievable. He hasn't allowed anybody, over something like 60 yards the entire season. I mean, I think Roddy White did the best out of any receiver, and he pretty much had like 3 or 4 catches for like 60 yards and a touchdown. So I mean, the Jets really. I mean, Revis anchoring that defense, and now with Lito Shepard getting healthy and a great linebacking core, I mean, this defense really could stop anybody. They even stopped the Colts. They held them to 15 points in 3.5 quarters, which is pretty darn good.
Great point. You can call the number 646-478-5118. We have a call on the line right now. He's a good friend of our show for a long time. We're going to switch a little Jets talk Mets. We're with Matt from 7 Train to Sherry. Matt, it's great to hear your voice again.
How you doing, Matt?
Doing good, guys. Doing good. Glad to see you guys are back on the air.
Absolutely. New year, even better.
Hiatus.
Well, new year 2010, our Mets, of course. Terrible year last year, 2009. It could not have been worse.
Yes. Well, at least you didn't book a trip to Denver to go see him play.
Oh, God. I can imagine.
It was miserable going and just seeing that in person, just watching it. I mean, me and my dad went down there. It was just went to all 3 games. Every game, walking back to the hotel, it was the same old talk. I can't believe he's hurt. I can't believe he's hurt. If they had him, they would have done better. But last season was just a train wreck, and hopefully the signings this year, get us in the right direction for once.
I could be wrong. Did the Mets even hit a home run last year? I mean, I could be wrong.
I think so.
Maybe
I think
one like in September and garbage time.
I remember one home run. I remember the home run that Santos hit off the Green Monster.
I remember the home run that the apple didn't come up. I was at that game. The apple
injuries didn't all around.
No, they weren't expecting it, so they weren't ready for the apple to come up.
Yeah.
But anyway, in all seriousness, obviously the big move coming this week, of course, the official announcing of Jason Bay, which will be our new Canadian left fielder. How do you think he's going to do, Matt?
I think he's going to do fairly well, Steve. You look at the spray charts around him, everybody's using that sabermetrics stuff. He's a pull guy, as Mania said, as Jeff Wilpon said, even Jason Bay said. A pull guy, you see him jacking home runs off the Green Monster with ease. I think he's going to do the same at Citi Field. I think he's going to use that towards his advantage as well. A lot of people are forgetting, too, PNC's left field center wall is 410, and he was hitting bombs off of that as well. He's going to be a good fit. He's going to be a good fit for this team. He's a quiet guy.
Clubhouse guy.
Clubhouse guy. Goes about his business, just gives 110%. he's going to earn every penny of that contract.
You know, I'm worried about in regards to the Mets, and we're joined right now by Matt from 7 Train to Shay, what I'm worried about is David Wright. I mean, he hit, what, like 10 home runs last year?
Mm-hmm.
Is this guy going to get used to this ballpark?
I'm not worried about David Wright.
I'm not worried either.
I mean, I'd be more worried right now about Jose Reyes and Carlos Beltran because Wright didn't have a major injury last year. I mean, he had that concussion, and then he wore that ridiculous helmet for a few games, but the helmet looked like Shane Victorino times 20 or something.
Yeah.
But
the great Gazoo.
That double flap
yeah.
Helmet.
I was at that game.
Yeah,
that was
in
the first
Colorado.
Game he came back. Yep, I was at that game.
He looked like the guy from
out
the Jetsons.
Of Star Wars. Have you guys seen Spaceballs?
I believe so. I think I have.
Yeah.
The guy that plays Darth Vader reminded me of that. That's what it reminded me of. But I guess Wright's been hitting with Hojo this offseason, according to Bobby Ojeda. So I think it's that first year in the ballpark. You kind of look at the Astros as well once they went to when they went to Enron, whatever it's now, Minute Maid Park. You know, a lot of guys struggled there. Berkman struggled. A ton of the guys, the big boppers, struggled there. So I think it's more of a getting the feel of it for Wright. And part of it too with Wright last year with him was it was more mechanics as well. You could see he was pulling up. He was kind of dipping that front shoulder, trying to hit the ball out. And Wright's not really a home run guy. If you look at him, he's more of a line drive. Gap-to-gap guy.
Yeah.
I occasionally put one out, but that's what I saw.
I think he's a little similar to Jason Bay in the fact that they're more like line drives, doubles-type hitters who just happen to hit home runs. I think Wright is that type of guy as well. You know, like Wright won't hit those 500-foot home runs, you know, like Ryan Howard will, but
no. He
gets enough. He gets his home runs, you know, when it's in his wheelhouse and, when he drives it the other way as well.
Yeah, there's actually something interesting brewing right now in terms of Mets first base situation. I mean, Daniel Murphy, people have penciled him in as the open day first base starter. I mean, they actually did a lineup after the Jason Bay signing. They were going over the lineup for the Mets, and Daniel Murphy batting, I think he was either fifth or sixth at first base. And now Carlos Delgado is apparently hitting again. It's been like 2 years, but he's finally back in the batting cage.
I would stay away.
Yeah, actually, he's playing right now. He's actually 3-for-8 right now, all singles, in the first two games in the Puerto Rican League. And I guess Mets are going to go, they're going to head down there this weekend to scout him. They want to, he hasn't played the field yet, so they want to look at his durability and versatility on the field to see how, that hip reacts.
I honestly think they should move on from Delgado. I would say they should too. I would try to get a right-hand compliment to Daniel Murphy, have them put in the air.
I think you got to look at a guy like Garco, Ryan Garco, a free agent, played with the Indians, Giants last season. Plays first base, plays a little outfield as well. Crushed left-handed hitting, be a perfect.
If he was healthy, he'd be Nady possibly.
Yeah, Nady as well. The thing with Nady is, I think he might be out until May, and he's recovering from Tommy John surgery. So.
And he's had a few of those now. He's had a few of those major surgeries as well. It's not the first.
So I think the Mets are kind of staying away from that. They want to go for the more secure route than taking a chance, especially after last season on a guy like
Daniel
Nady.
Daniel Murphy was the leading home run hitter for the Mets last year, so why not? 12 home runs. He did that. Just one more thing, Matt. Of course, for a while here this offseason, the biggest offseason move the Mets made was R.A. Dickey. But eventually, they did make some other moves. Of course, Jason Bay signed, like you mentioned. They got Kelvin Escobar. Do you see anything to that move? He was good 2 years ago. He's a proven pitcher with the Angels. Do you think that the Mets would use him, I don't know, as kind of in that five-star rotation? They talked to Mike Pelfrey in the offseason. Pelfrey said, with Oliver Perez, himself, Santana, Nice, and Main, he thinks that the Mets, starting rotation is fine. I think you look at that rotation last year, Maine has all kinds of issues. Pelfrey, he can't get off the mound without giving a balk.
Without licking his hands.
Perez can no longer be fixed in 10 minutes. So, I mean, this rotation is not good.
10 years for Perez, not 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing with Escobar is he's not going to be a starter whatsoever. I think he's pitched about five innings since 2007.
He's definitely going to be in the bullpen.
Yeah, he could even be the setup guy to K-Rod.
Well, if Escobar can return to his old form, I mean, you know, he's a good pitcher.
Yeah, when he's healthy, his stuff is phenomenal.
He's nasty
stuff.
With
the Angels. Yeah, he's got great stuff.
Just, I believe it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago, he won 18 games for the Angels as a starter.
Yeah, he did.
If he's healthy, I'm sorry.
You mentioned K-Rod. K-Rod is one guy that's got to get back into form. Last year he was atrocious. Only has 35 saves. He went down with the team.
He was good for a pass.
Yeah, he was good for a while.
I think he was hurt too. He might have been hurt a little. I think
he was
towards
hurt,
the end.
Who wasn't hurt?
Yeah, I'm surprised I wasn't hurt watching the team, or you, Steve, or Quas, or anybody wasn't hurt.
Well, I think if I stepped anywhere near City Field, I'd tweak something, so every time I went. I mean, it was, honestly, I've never seen anything like it. Nothing close.
No, it's funny, too, speaking of injuries in K-Rod, when I went down to Denver, I got there early. Him and Feliciano were warming up during batting practice playing catch, and I was right behind Feliciano. And K-Rod, they were just chucking it back and forth as hard as they could. Feliciano missed it, hits the wall, just freaked the crap out of me. So that was my close call for the year. I almost landed up on the disabled list down in Denver as well.
I almost got by a foul ball. I was sitting in the fifth row. It was a game against the Phillies, a game that went to extra innings. I was like 4-4. And Jason Wirth made a diving catch to save the game. The Phillies would end up winning. There was a line drive. I moved down to my seats because some of the fans left in extra innings, and I almost got clocked by Jason Wirth. It was about two seats away. So I mean, I think everybody had a close call last year with the Mets. But I mean, hopefully, new calendar, new year, everything will be different. You know, who knows? I mean, start of the 2000s, the Mets got to the World Series. Maybe they could do the same thing again.
Yeah, well, Steve, the starting pitching really scares you. Like Quas said, you got a whole bunch of questions with him. You know, you got Santana coming off an injury. I think he'll be fine. Pelfrey looks like more like a 4 or 5 starter to me. I don't think he's really a number two guy. Maine, you don't know if he's going to pitch a full season with that shoulder of his, if it's going to give out. Oliver Perez is Oliver Perez. You don't know what you're going to get. He's supposedly doing great down in this sports fitness boot camp down in Arizona, but I mean, that's up in the air, and we don't know what they're going to do starting pitching wise. They're looking at Pinheiro, Washburn could be one, Doug Davis could be another guy, John Garland.
Garland in that spot. I think he can give you some innings, and he's not going to Cy Young Award, but he'll do all right. I think Garland's your safest bet. I really do.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Garland's he's an innings eater, gives you 30 plus starts.
You already have two lefties in the rotation. Really, no need for another one.
No.
Obviously Santana and Perez. I mean, Perez, like it or not, he's going to be in the rotation. He's getting paid $12 million. Clearly the biggest hole right now is another starting pitcher. And besides that, they need a compliment to Daniel Murphy. And, you know, just so they can hold the fort maybe until Ike Davis is ready, because he seems like he might be coming up as a good prospect.
Oh, yeah, Ike Davis is going to be a stud. I saw him play down at ASU.
Arizona State, yep.
Yep, down there. Saw him play 2007, I want to say. I think it was his sophomore year. He's got a cannon for an arm. He's playing right field, I think, today. I went to go see him. Cannon for an arm. Just great pop in the bat. He's definitely going to be a guy that hits, you know, 20 home runs, 40 doubles. This guy's a real deal. What everybody's, you know, hyping him up to be, he's going to be the real deal. I think he's going to be an impact guy once he's up here.
All right, Matt. Thanks for giving us a few minutes of some Mets baseball.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, man.
All right, and now, where can people check on your show? You're still Sundays at 7, right?
Yep, Sundays at 7. We got Mike Silva of NY Baseball Digest coming on this Sunday at 7.
Awesome. So we'll be tuning in, and good luck with everything, Matt, and let's go Mets.
All right, let's go Mets and J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets.
It's a game this weekend, and that's exactly what we're going into right now.
Perfect. Perfect segue.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, thanks,
guys. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
See you later, Matt. that, of course, Matt Pignataro, 17 to Shea. That's over at Blog Talk Radio. 17 to Shea. And this is a story with Matt. He never wanted to change it to 7 Train to City because it doesn't sound good. So, 7 Train to Shea. Before we get into the Jets here, we'll go from the Mets to the Nets real quick. Steven, time, you got 32 seconds.
The Nets, when's the next time they're going to win a game?
Well, right now they're 3-32. They've lost 32 games. Jay-Z is their owner, and they're presented by McDonald's. I'm done.
I mean, seriously, I mean, the head coach says, Prescott, I don't even know who the head coach is at this point. That's how bad they are.
The guy's name is Kiki Vanaway.
Wow. Obviously, they fired Lawrence Frank. I mean, how could you not?
No, the Nets were actually fun. The Nets were actually a story when they didn't win a game. But once the Nets won that first game.
Yeah, that was it.
People stopped, and the Nets just kept losing. People keep talking about them. But the fact that the Nets have actually won, the Nets, one of their three wins, has come against the Knicks.
Well, I mean, that's not a shocker. Even though the Knicks have had a decent season this year.
The Knicks,
I think they're going to make the playoffs. I really do.
I do. The Knicks look good. That Italian player, Gallinari.
Danilo Gallinari.
Yeah, he looks really good. David Lee's been great, and, you know, they have a good core of guys there now.
Yeah, what you're saying about is Gallinari, I mean, they were concerned about his back at the beginning of the season, but he's looked fine. And he's one of the best shooters right now in the NBA at a very young age. So,
yeah.
I mean, the Knicks,
Chris,
I think Gallinari is one of those guys that they can build around. I mean, if you can get LeBron or Wade or one of those big guys in next year, I mean, him with Gallinari, that could be a good, nice 1-2 right there.
Yeah. Oh, I think if you're going to Wade and LeBron James, you might want to take LeBron. But, I mean, right now you're looking at this, Wade and LeBron, they keep, every time the Knicks play the Cavaliers or the Heat, it's always a hot topic. But I think at this point in time, just wait until the season ends, and then we'll decide. I mean, the Knicks might not have a chance of actually doing something. So, I would
definitely. All right, that was 2 minutes. That's enough.
Hey, I'm down with the Knicks.
All right, we got to get to this Jet game. We absolutely, and the rest of the NFL games this weekend. So, why don't you start on some thoughts about this game this weekend in Cincinnati?
Jets, Bengals, I hope Ocho Cinco, or whatever his name is. Ocho Cinco.
Might be Johnson this week. He said if he was held catchless, the name goes back to Johnson. So what name will be on the jersey this weekend? That would be a good poll question.
How about Ocho So Stinko? That will be his name this weekend.
Or, Ocho Island, maybe. He said he's on Revis Island.
After the 37-0 game, people are calling him Ocho So Blanco because the Bengals didn't score or anything. But, this weekend, the Jets, of course, at Cincinnati. Actually less than 2 days until the game. Rex Ryan, this is his first time coaching a playoff game. It's going to be interesting to see how he manages the game. But I think in this game, Steven, we're going to see the Jets do a lot of running. What do you think about that?
Well, the Jets are going to go to their bread and butter, which they've done all season. That's running and stopping the opposition on defense. I mean, you're going to see Jones probably get 25 to 30 carries in this game. You're going to see Green be a factor in the mix. I mean, no matter what you can say about the Bengals' defense, I know they're getting a few guys back this weekend. I know they're going to step it up a notch. Obviously, they're at home. They're in front of their fans. It is the playoffs. But last week, if you watched that game at all, I mean, even though the Bengals may not have been playing their hardest football, the Jet offensive line absolutely demolished them. If they do that again, I really don't care who's in the game. The Jets will win. I mean, if the Jets can run for 250 yards again, and those trick plays with Brad Smith, if they work, then I think the Jets win this game, and I think fairly easily as well, to be honest.
I just want to say one thing. I mean, of course, the Jets and Bengals are playing two games in less than a week because this game's on Saturday at 4:30. And if you actually look at the four games, the four wild card games, 75% of them are going to be repeats. And that's never happened before in the NFL. Green Bay is playing Arizona again. Philly's playing Dallas. And the Jets are playing Cincinnati. And that's
very weird.
The way the schedule has worked, I mean, and Dallas did something they've never done. The winter of denial is over for Dallas because they finally won in December against the Eagles.
That even wackier, by the way, also. Sorry to bother you. But if the Ravens lost to the Raiders, the Houston Texans would have gone to New England. So you would have had four rematches. If that were the case.
Yeah, that was
That was not the case. So it is a moot point. I don't know why this broke up.
We have a fan, a Jets fan, who's actually tuning into our show right now. He said his new name is Mucho Sucko.
Mucho Sucko, there you go.
Ocho Cinco. Number to call in, as always, into our show is 646-478-5118. We are talking Jets right now. Fireman Ed seemed to take over the crowd and kind of steal Ocho Cinco's thunder last Sunday.
Well, Fireman Ed, of course, is a Jets icon. He's absolutely, you know, he gets the fans going. He's a passionate guy. And by the way, something I forgot to mention before. I think the two big keys to this game, the two main players to watch for the Jets, that one is going to be David Harris. He's banged up with that bum ankle that he hurt in the game last week. He walked off the sideline last week, and he did practice today in limited basis, but he's very questionable for this week. The Jets, I mean, he's been absolutely humongous all year. If you've watched all 16 Jet games, he's all over the place on the field. And to stop Cedric Benson in that running game, they're going to need David Harris. And for the Bengals, the biggest key is, can Lavernius Coles be a factor? Because with Revis, you know, you have to assume he's going to shut down Ocho Cinco because, you know, he shut down everybody he's faced this season. Can Lavernius Coles be a factor?
You have to think Coles wants to get some revenge.
Coles, you know, he's had some playoff experience with the Jets, and maybe a little chip on his shoulder against his old team. I think Lavernius Coles, if he has a big game, the Bengals, that's one way they could win this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. Ocho Cinco also has a bruised knee. I should mention that, but it appears okay for the game. So Ocho Cinco should be in the game as well. But Carson Palmer, who had a terrible game last week, I don't think he's going to be fazed at all from that. He only completed one of 11 passes for 0 yards, and he was intercepted once. He's actually been sliding. The Bengals have not had a good second half of their season.
Well, it appears, I mean, since the Chris Henry tragedy, of course, which is awful, they haven't been the same. They've only won one game since, and that was against Kansas City at home, and that was a game that they had to score a touchdown in the final possession to win that game. So, I mean, they really have played spotty football. They lost, of course, to the Jets. They lost to the Chargers. Two tough teams, but still games that they would have won, you know, early in the season when they were playing well. The Bengals, I'd be a little concerned. I think they have a chance to win this game, but I think overall the Jet defense and offensive line is going to be enough to win this game for the Jets. I like the Jets on the road, 23-20.
Yeah, actually, it was interesting for 23-20. The other games this weekend, a lot of people are also picking by those similar scores. I see a lot of people actually pick Dallas beat Philly 24-20. It should be a lot of close games this weekend, and I think the Jets and Bengals should be one of those close games. I don't think it's going to be a shootout. Mark Sanchez, his first time in the spotlight. Now, Chad Pennington, if you remember, kind of had a little bit up and down in the playoffs in his first couple of appearances. But do you think that Sanchez will have the same kind of deal? I mean, we'll see what happens.
Well, I think the Jets, put it this way, the Jets are in trouble if Sanchez needs to win the game for them at the end. I think the Jets, they're going to try to, you know, control with the running game. If the Jets can't get up to, if the Jets fall behind, they're in trouble, put it that way. Because if they fall behind, they got the pass. And Sanchez, pretty much the last, like, two, you know, they've won 5 out of 6, but it's been all the running game. Sanchez has not won a game for them all season. If Sanchez doesn't make mistakes, they should be fine. However, it's not a certainty. So I think if the Jets want to win this game, they're going to need to just do it the way they've been doing it, and that's the running game. It's simple as that.
And you don't have much faith in Kotchery and the other receivers?
No, I do have faith. I think Braylon Edwards has played very well since coming here. He hasn't dropped as many passes as he appeared to in Cleveland. He's hasn't been a problem in the locker room. Also, Kotchery, you know, he's a very consistent receiver. He's played well. Whenever Kotchery's not hurt, that's his key, because he seems like he's always banged up a few times in a season. But they really haven't played bad. Dustin Keller's decent receiving tight end. Honestly, as Sanchez gets more experience, I think this is going to be a very good offense in a few years with that balanced attack of running and passing.
Yeah, and of course, the one match that everyone's going to be watching this weekend is going to be Jets cornerback Darrell Revis versus Bengals wide receiver Chad Ocho Cinco. I mean, they're having all their Twitter fights, and Revis said his famous line, you know, you don't tweet on Sunday. But in terms of this game coming up here, this is the one matchup. I guess it could come down to these two guys.
Well, I mean, obviously Ochocinco, despite all his tactics, I mean, I do like that he brings, you know, a fun type of atmosphere to the field every Sunday.
He likes it too.
I mean, I think he has a good personality. Some people don't like him. I'm actually one of his fans. I really do like what he does. And he's obviously a very talented receiver, probably one of the top 10 or 15 receivers in the league right now. But, I mean, I just think Revis, he's just been out of this world this year. He really has been. And, you know, I mean, they might not give him the defensive MVP because, you know, he didn't have as many interceptions as Darren Schopper or Charles Woodson. Or he didn't have, you know, sacks or anything. But, I mean, if you watch him on a week-by-week basis, play-by-play, I mean, this guy, he hasn't allowed, honestly, one big play the whole season. I can't remember a big play that he's allowed.
Also, we should mention, no receiver has more than 35 yards against him this season. That's not easy to do.
Exactly. I mean, he's done a fantastic job. I mean, it's obviously been said in the media a lot. You guys probably know. I mean, Randy Moss, he stopped, Steve Smith, Carolina, while he was healthy. He stopped Andre Johnson. I mean, he stopped so many elite receivers in this league, and the list keeps growing. I mean, soon he's going to have a checklist instead of Ochocinco.
Number to call in 646-478-5118. Another match, Steve, you mentioned David Harris, the LB, the linebacker for the Jets. He has an ankle injury right now, and the Jets got to hope that he's not scratched before this game because he can really stop a running back, Sed Benson.
I mean, yeah, they still have Bart Scott in the middle, but, you know, the Jets play a 3-4 defense, and they need both of those middle linebackers. That's a big key. And, you know, it shows a lot to the player that Harris is, because before the season, I mean, the Broncos asked for David Harris for straight up for Brandon Marshall. The Jets wouldn't do it. So, I mean, and they didn't have Braylon Edwards at the time. So that shows you how good of a player David Harris is that, you know, they think he's better, he's more valuable than a receiver like Brandon Marshall. All right, so that's the Jets-Bengals game. That should be a great one. There's also three other games this weekend, the first one being the Saturday night game, which will follow the game in Cincinnati. That is the Eagles at the Cowboys. Ethan's two favorite teams.
I would try not to watch the game because this is going to be too painful to watch. But
the Quas, two favorite teams, of course, the Eagles and Cowboys. Who do you like? I mean, obviously, you got to pick your poison in this game. I mean, one of the teams that you dislike is going to win. Who do you think has the edge in this
outside
game?
Outside of the Eagles and the Cowboys, I'll pick the Cowboys here. Just because, the thing is, I would actually pick the Eagles normally because the quarterback, Donovan McNabb, is a Syracuse graduate, but I don't think I'm going to go that route. I'm going to pick the Cowboys because, you know, the Eagles have had their time to shine. They made a Super Bowl in the last decade, and I guess now it's time for the Cowboys. I actually am hoping for a Cowboys-Jets Super Bowl. That's what I'm hoping for.
Oh, that'd be interesting. I would hope for Jets versus anybody. I don't really care who it would be. Go ahead.
At this point, but yeah, these are Dallas actually leads the postseason rivalry 2-1. So the favorite is on Dallas. They won last week. And this is game two of their two-game series. Dallas did win last week. The big matchup in this game is going to be Trent Cole of the Eagles versus Cowboys' Flavzell Adams. This is a really big matchup in this game.
The Phillies. I always do that. The Eagles, I mean, well, first of all, what has been mentioned a lot is their center going down, and all of a sudden they're just going to a rut after their center went down. I mean, they were up 27-3 against the Broncos, and then since then they've been outscored, I believe it's about 50-3. So I mean, all of a sudden, I mean, one player, it shows like the signals that he calls, the blocking packages, all that can be affected just by one player. But anyway, I mean, I think this is the hardest game of the weekend to pick. I think both these teams, you know, you don't really know what kind of game they're gonna have. You know, the Cowboys, they've been the hottest team in football the past, you know, 3 or 4 weeks, ever since that game against New Orleans. But you never know. They've been known to lay eggs in the past in the playoffs. And the Eagles, it just seems like they just run their team professionally. They're always ready to play when the games count, and they're always close. I mean, I think this is the hardest game. I'm going to pick the Eagles. I like the Eagles on the road. I still don't believe in the Cowboys. I don't buy into them.
Yeah, I'm going to take the well, let's do our predictions quickly.
I'm taking the Eagles on the road.
All right, so taking the Eagles on the road. I'm taking the Cowboys. I'm taking the Cowboys 27.
And who'd you take in the Jets-Bengals game? Did you pick that game?
I'm taking the Jets. I'm taking the Jets 30-27.
Okay, Jets 30-27. I have the Jets 23-20, and then I have the Eagles. I'll say they'll win 27-20. I'll say 27-20.
All right, now we go to quickly over Sunday, Arizona.
Sunday, the first game is Ravens at New England.
Ravens, New England, yeah.
I just think this is simple. I mean, New England, of course, banged up by the Wes Welker injury and, you know, a few other obviously Tom Brady, there was a report that he had broken ribs, but maybe he doesn't. I'm not sure. But the Patriots, they always just seem – Belichick always has them ready for these types of games. I think they win this one pretty easily. I think the Ravens were a better team at the beginning of the season. I think without Ed Reed, I think they're in a lot of trouble against the passing game of the Patriots. So I'll pick the Patriots 34-17.
I'm going to say 37-21 New England. And we got Green Bay, Arizona. That's another rematch. Green Bay, of course, the other wild card team that knocked out the Giants. And Arizona.
In this game, I love Green Bay. I like their defense with, you know, Charles Woodson has had an unbelievable season. They have a few good young guys up there in the front seven. Of course, I love what Aaron Rodgers has done. Ryan Grant seems to have refound himself, or whatever word I'm looking for, retooled, whatever you want. But he's had a much better season than he had last season. I like the Packers a lot. I mean, they killed them last week, but obviously that was with Matt Leinart. You have Kurt Warner back. But, of course, the Cardinals are banged up with their injury to Anquan Boldin. I like the Packers in this game, 31-23.
Yeah, what's odd in this game is Green Bay has the better record, and they're the road team. But, yeah, I like Charles Woodson against Larry Fitzgerald. I think it's a good compliment, a really good compliment. And, yeah, I'm going to take Green Bay in this one, 30-17 over Arizona.
All right, that'll do it. I mean, so the wild card playoffs, so... The Jets, the Eagles, the Patriots, and the Packers will advance.
Yep.
For you, it's the Jets, the Cowboys, the Patriots, and the, what'd you say, the Packers or Cardinals?
Packers,
Packers. So we're pretty much the same except for the Eagle-Cowboy game. We disagree.
And yeah, spend 1 minute on their hockey. Devils, gotta say, the best team in the...
best team in the Eastern Conference right now.
No question. Brodeur has the record in shutouts, 106.
It's just amazing how every year you think, you know, are they going to be good? You know, is Brodeur finally going to break down, get older? It never happens. They're just always good.
Mm-hmm. And the Rangers, you just saw them a couple nights ago.
Yeah, last night I was at the Garden. Actually, believe it or not, first win I've ever seen at the Garden. That was my fifth game at the Garden all time. That's the first win I've ever seen there.
So some Broadway magic. The Rangers are hot. They're 7-1-2 in the last 10. So they're on fire right now. And they've won 2 in a row. So they're looking good right now. The Rangers are right in the midst of a playoff race. And so are the Islanders. Believe it or not, the Islanders have rejuvenated themselves as a hockey franchise. And they are right there in the mix as well. So
I mean, well, the Islanders, they're not going to be great this year, but they do have a great future. I really do think so. I mean, 2 or 3 years down the line, I think they could be the best team out of the three local teams. I mean, because I do think their young players are very good. I think DiPietro eventually will be back, and he could definitely be one of the best goalies in the NHL. He single-handedly carried them to the playoffs a few times back in, it was like 06, I believe, when they made the playoffs against the Devils.
Yes.
In that final game with that shootout, that was insane.
Certainly.
All right, but anyway, unfortunately, we have run out of time. That show seemed like it went really fast. That means we must have done a good job, Quest.
Yeah, certainly.
All right, well, we'll see you next week. Same time, same place. We hope you enjoy the show. Our listeners are more than doubled from last time. We went from 6 to 13. So we're getting there. I mean, obviously, we have to advertise a little more, but I think we've done a good job. And, next week it'll be even better, and we're looking forward to a great new year, a great new decade, and this is going
to
be a great 2000.
Stay tuned to our Twitter and Facebook page updates on guests and such. We're going to end with a song called Rose by Caleb Stouters, a friend of the show, Doc Network. Close out the show. Once again, thanks for tuning in. I'm Ethan Quasman.
I'm Stephen Ackerman. Good night, and take care. Stay safe out there.
Go Jets.
J-E-T-S, baby. Saturday, 4:30. Don't miss it.
Electric line today.